Fred Film Radio, Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Czech Republic.
Fred Film Radio, Matt Micucci here, and this year Fred is once again media partner of Future Frames, the showcase of promising new filmmakers on the European film scene organised by the European Film Promotion in collaboration with the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. And joining us at this time, one of this year's Future Frames, Jerry Hoffman. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And first off, congratulations on being part of the Future Frames selection for this year. How does that feel?
It's amazing. I mean, it's great. It's just such an honor to be in a room of different talented directors and directresses and being like, I don't know, being that the work is appreciated and that I'm seen with this work that really means a lot to me. It's just amazing. Thank you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And is this your first kind of directorial effort?
No. No. I mean, it's the thesis movie of a 2-year program. So it was the third movie that we did. And especially I fell in love with the team members, like the producer, Stella Flicker, the DP, Lena Katharina Krause, and the author, and I, Florence Huhn. There was our second movie and we did the first already. And so we fell in love with each other and said, okay, let's do the thesis movie together. And then we had a great script and a worldwide pandemic, came to us. And so we had to regenerate because it had like club scenes, elderly people, risk-taking people. So in a matter of no time, we just came up with a total new script and that's the movie. But I'm coming from acting. So I'm in the film industry for almost 12 years now.
Right.
But, it's like, I think my third short.
Yeah, exactly. You do have quite a prominent background in acting, but what made you decide to kind of step behind the camera? Anything in particular?
It's a complex question because I feel it's a process. But overall, right from the beginning when I did acting, I always had the feeling of doing something else or something more. And at a certain point, it has a lot to do with racist structures of the European and German film industry, where I got offered a lot of stereotypical characters that are either refugees or drug dealers, and I always declined them. But as an actor, you can only do so much. Someone's coming to you and saying, do you want to have this role or not? And then you can try to make the most authentic or most three-dimensional character, but you can't change the story. You cannot tell your own story, and this numbness I felt like I need to create stories from my heart. And that's I think the process of it. And then I started studying in Los Angeles some years ago, and now I did my master's degree in Hamburg.
So basically you'd always kind of imagined that you'd want to not only do acting but also directing, producing. It was always part of, let's say, your plans.
I mean, when you're like in high school, you don't actually have this future plan. It was just what I was doing. I had like, we were like teaching children and acting. I was like with a friend, we were privileged to be in another high school and have like little children classes where we do like school productions with them. So already there was kind of a director's chair, but I didn't see it as that. And I was always interested in acting and I did a lot of acting, but I always... I'm a very demanding actor and I always like to go into script and go into the development. And just when I did theater, soon you figure out you like to do more. And there's some actors who can really like just go in there and just do their thing. And I'm always, I was always interested in all the other departments and about the costume choices and about like everything else. And then you come to the point where, okay, maybe I should tell my own stories and maybe they are valid and maybe I'm not a actor who's trying to do something else. Maybe the directing chair suits me. Yeah.
And this may be like a trivial question, but feel free to answer it in whatever way you like. But you did mention this kind of racism in European film production and representation and all of the different cinematic structures. I guess it also extends to different areas of entertainment, let's face it. But do you remember when you absolutely became aware that this was a problem? Perhaps this could have been before you started thinking about, you know, starting a career in film.
It's not a trivial question at all. It's such a complex question. And me as a black filmmaker in Germany and Europe, I get asked a lot of questions, and often it's about this. Can you tell us a racist experience that you had to prove that there is a problem? And for the last years, I tended to not repeat this racist incidents anymore, more than talking about structures of not including different voices. And I feel like we are living in especially nowadays, we are living in a worldwide pandemic. Everyone is feeling the difference, and it's more important than ever that we connect. And I think stories connect and movies connect to, you know, if you're not able to travel the world, it's more important than ever that the whole world is seeing different perspectives. And I feel in the European cinema, and for me as a German, in the German cinema, we neglected a lot of stories and a lot of perspectives for a long time. And now we're coming to the term being like, oh my God, like characters can be diverse, and it's okay if we don't repeat the same story through the same bodies over and over again. And I feel this is where we're at, and this is what I also try to incorporate with my thesis movie. Yeah, for us, it was like very important to at a time where it's a privilege to do art, and at a time where it's like, is it more important to go to the hospital and help people? You know, there were people dying all over Europe. We had great discussions about all of that. And then you do your little thesis movie and do like art, like a short film. How can you respond to that? And is this, and then it makes art more necessary as a form of being like, this has to be something of value, because otherwise it feels wrong ethically and morally. So we try to do a movie that is important to us, and especially in this genre, sci-fi, there's not a lot of black women portrayed. And so having a movie with only two black women in the forefront was the most important to us. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it a little bit, and let's introduce it to our listeners who may not be familiar with it. The short that you will be presenting in Carlo Vivari as part of the Future Frames program is titled I Am. Would you be able to tell us something about its story?
Sure. It's Noé, a woman we found in the woods. She's like kind of secluded. It's somewhere in the near future of Germany. Is going on her daily walks in the forest and finds a lifeless body, like a puppet. The puppet of a black female body, and she takes it with her and discovers that this is actually a robot and an android. And as she's very much into like into machines and everything, she switches her on and connects her, and they do have become a relationship. And this relationship turns, to not spoil too much, into a really awkward, spooky, but also very emotional relationship. That's the short pitch. We always say it's a sci-fi horror movie with a little bit of near future elements. Yeah,
and a little bit of psychological drama too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, do you feel drawn to the sci-fi genre? I mean, do you feel that it holds great communicative power?
Totally. For me personally, I always watched a lot of sci-fi movies from very different. I mean, especially in Germany, we have a problem with genre. So when you come with sci-fi like a lot of Germans are like, oh no, I don't like Star Wars. sci-fi, it's like the world. And then for me, it was very important to show that science fiction is so much more than only some battleships fighting against in the universe, especially in the European cinema. I feel we have like little doubts of it, but it can only, science fiction means telling a future that has not been there yet. And it can be a utopia, it can be a dystopia, but somehow I feel like people are more willing to accept a different reality. If I would show the same movie, like the same story in the now, I feel like Germans would be hesitant to accept it, because it's like, that's not our now, because only two black women is not Germany. But if you say it's a future and it's science fiction, I feel like people are more accepting in the weirdness of of what you bring. So yeah,
right.
I like.
I mean, exactly. It's almost like this is the science fiction that is not set in a galaxy far, far away. It's actually set in the cabin in the woods in a very real, earthly place in a not so distant future. That's really not too hard to imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And do you think that it also plays in some kind of, anxieties about artificial intelligence? And, you know, you always hear people being a little concerned about these things.
Of course. I mean, the idea of having something digital created that becomes more powerful than the humankind itself is a very long story that we repeated over time, over and over. So the concerns are within our generations of being afraid of AI. And so for us, it was important to have like a different kind of perspective on it, because when we create, there's different ways of ethical questions that it raises, and there's robot laws, and there's different scientists who talk about, we are so close to really coming to the singularity moment of having an AI that is as intelligent as the humankind, or even smarter. And at a certain point, they will have something that we maybe can't differentiate from emotions. So when we create something that has emotion, where's our responsibility of this being another being? And yeah, for me, this is one of the most points to have like self-worth or giving it being worth. And this is, I think, the discussions that we have nowadays, like there's the other, someone else that I don't understand, or that I don't feel has the same value. And for me, an Android is the epiphany of that, where you're like, that's just a toaster. I mean, come on, that's nothing that I can give value to. And I hope, and that was the reaction from a lot of people through this movie, you can't differentiate your own emotions from having sympathy towards an Android and being like, oh my God, somehow I feel for her. And if this works, did it work for you?
Yeah, I also think that emotions are incredibly complex, right? They're something that, I guess, it's sometimes difficult to understand even in our own lives. I don't know whether you also have awareness of your own emotions. Are you always able to read them right away, or do you sometimes struggle with that?
I mean, it was an incredible work with the two actresses, especially with the android, to create a human being that we have already, Siri, Alexa, we have already speaking algorithms that talk to us, and that progressed like this. So it was important for us to create like a lifelike android that has complex feelings and emotions, but still, as it's in the story, you never know if this thing the android portrays is reality or not. Is she copying, or is she really feeling? And I think that was the main point that we wanted to address. It's like,
yeah. And I sometimes ask myself that of other people too. I gotta say.
but this is empathy, right? You
empathy, you can, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can only, if you're, I feel like we're in a time where it's so much about not projecting something on the other anymore, you know? You look at someone and you don't know the gender, you don't know the sexuality, you don't know how he, she, like describes itself. And I feel this is also like, you don't know the emotion, you don't know what someone else is going through or what they're in. The only thing you can do is listen and let the other person speak. And I think this is more important than projecting, like, I think you are this, or I know you are feeling this. It's just listen.
I was going to ask you, we should give a shout out to the cast, the actors of this film. What are their names, and how did you work with them to establish this kind of pretty challenging relationship that their characters have with each other?
Yeah, I'm so deeply humble and thankful that we found these actresses. It's Sheri Hagen and Melody Vakivuamina, who is playing the android, and Sheri Hagen is playing the human being. And talking again about the lack of diversity in European film, when we first came up with the script, and the author did an amazing job, we showed it to a lot of producers and like TV executives to raise money. And one of the most concerning responses was like, oh my God, it's really, everyone loved the script, but it's like, it's a really great script, but how are you going to find these women? I mean, it's only two women. They have to be really good. The underlying phrase is, you will not find these complex, talented black actresses within the German realm. And so it was problematic and heartfelt. And so me and the casting agent, who I also have to put a big shout out to, Lisa Stutzky, I love her very much. It was also our third movie. I know her for a longer time. And we just made like a social media questionnaire of putting it out. And we had 160 submissions from Austrian, German, or Swiss actresses, and they were like amazing. And for me, working in the German film industry as a black actor, I didn't know most of them, and they were amazing because they are not getting cast in leads in the European film. And so I was really touched sitting in front of the laptop, seeing so many great, great, great submissions, and being like, there's so much talent that we neglect. And at the end, it was like a more classical audition thing. We had like, we watched all of it, of course. And then we decided, it was like a time of the pandemic, so we decided to only bring in four actresses, two for each role, and cast them in different combinations. And when the two of them had the audition, it was just an aura and an amazing experience, and was very clear. And yeah, I'm really thankful to have them.
So you felt that they shared a special chemistry from the beginning, from when they met?
Yes, totally. And this is why live casting is so important nowadays, where a lot of people are only doing e-castings or something. There's so much about connection. You can never say what happens when two human beings are interacting with each other. And especially in a short where it's only about their relationship, that's what I'm casting. I'm not only casting each actress and their abilities or talent. We are over that. It's about what happens between them. And that's chemistry. And the chemistry was amazing.
Just to kind of wrap this conversation up, I wanted to ask you about how you might have been dealing with the current times of the pandemic and all of the different challenges. Have you struggled to stay creative and productive during this time?
We shot the film till December 2020. So actually shooting this thesis during a pandemic was so much confronting us with the biggest hurdles. But yet when we came out of it, we just experienced that most of the people were already bored by home office or by the limitations, or like they had the feeling they cannot stay at home anymore. And we spent half a year on this project, and we were kind of, I feel like at the beginning, we didn't even experience the pandemic as a lot of people in the whole world did, because we were so into how can we make this movie work and how can we shoot it. But of course it had a lot of limitations of doing it. And yeah, I mean, I was quite fortunate that I'm also an actor. And for the beginning of the year, for 4 months, I was in Istanbul shooting a Turkish Netflix series. So I was kind of right after this movie working on another big project. And of course, it's different if you stay in your hotel the whole day and you cannot experience a whole different country or city. It's different. But I was quite fortunate that in my workspace, I always connect to people. And as actors, we get tested all the time, and so we are able to like have physical contact. And I think this is the most that would be the most distressing, to not being able to hug someone or interact. And so I was quite fortunate that I had a lot of interactions. But still, of course, it's a special time, and the time when you ask me like this is more than ever, it's demanding us to make sense of what we do, or I mean not take anything for granted, and especially the arts, and especially when we create something that costs a lot of money, always think about what do we want to do with it? How are we going to give to a more inclusive and more connected world? Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.